We Like Dota is brought to you with the generous support of our patrons. Patrons like TL Cone, Nine Eggs, Justin, Lonnie, Rusty, Dr. Carmack, Mitchell Metzler, Clint Block, Demento, Elihu, Dandy Russ, Carl Underwood, Can Dashel, Flossen, and Titus Andromedon. If you'd like to be a patron, go to WeLikeDota.com and follow the links to the Patreon. We Like Dota, episode 204, starts now. Hello, everyone. Hello, listeners. This is Jim, aka Jim J. Bullock, here with We Like Dota, episode 204, and I am joined by Baby Bok Choy, Charlene. Hello, Charlene.
Hi, how are you? How are you, Internet?
Oh, well, we here at We Like Dota headquarters are great. yeah, we've had a lot of people asking for you to return and share some thoughts on heroes that you play and provide your perspective on Dota, so we're happy to have you back.
Oh, thank you. I felt like my last one came at a weird time because it was pre, like, new meta Crystal Maiden. So I did the thing on Crystal Maiden, and we're like, yeah, you level Frostbite level 1, and we're like, yeah, that was no question. And then, like, a week later, Purge releases his video. He's like, hey, guys, the actual, like, professional CM players, like Pie Right. Die, they always max out Q, and then everybody started doing that.
All right, so this week, so 1 week after we published this,
yeah,
there'll be a major change in the meta for Mirana.
Yes.
Cool.
Can't wait. But,
yeah, but for that 1 week, you'll have Charlene's insights on the Moon Rider. Is that what she is?
I think so. She's like, her Dota 1 name was also like Princess of the Moon.
Oh, Princess of Panem, of course. Yeah. Why would I forget that? Maybe Luna's the Moon Rider. Anyway, yeah. We'll all be experts on Potom by the end of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But first, we'll talk about our feelings.
I just realized something looking up to confirm that she is Princess of the Moon. Her voice actress is the same as the one that does CM.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Jin Hammond. And the only reason I know that is because I have that, like, an inscribed thing for CM of Jin Hammond. Okay,
oh, nice. All right, so we'll pick from there for our next one.
Yeah.
That we do. Well, you've actually played a lot of Spectre, and she does the Mercurial's Call
she
voice.
She does.
Pack.
Well, she does Spectre's original voice and the Mercurial Call voice pack for her.
Oh, cool. Not that we want to pigeonhole you into only Jin Hammond voice heroes, but.
Well, she also does Enchantress. I hate Enchantress.
Okay. Well, I could do Enchantress.
There you go.
I like Enchantress. Yeah. About whom we'll probably talk in a few minutes as well. But let's go to our feelings. So I am still reeling from the drama of TI. The excitement of that tournament. It was so fun. And a team that nobody dislikes won. And had great story. And likable players. And a game 5 and excitement. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's happened is that the other day I asked around on Discord as to how people did things like Smurfs. And I made myself a Smurf so I could practice at low MMR. No, I'm kidding. I signed my daughter up for Dota 2. So she has her own Steam account now.
Oh my gosh, that's adorable.
Yeah, so I can play with her instead of just having her go on my account and play against bots. So we could play against bots together now.
Uh-huh.
And I'll give her some old cosmetics, because obviously I'm not going to give her good cosmetics. I'm still a Dota player. I need my hats. But
yeah,
we're going to start playing Dota together. So I told her, and she's like, okay, well, tomorrow, Daddy, I want to play Minecraft with you, because she's been playing Minecraft with her cousins like all weekend. And she's like, but Wednesday we can play Dota together. I was like, all right, cool. So Wednesday, we'll definitely hit that up.
She's penciled you into her gaming schedule.
Yeah. I have an entry on her Outlook now. She has me hold:dadDota.
Yeah.
And then this is fortunate because then she'll be able to win TI-15 and care for me in my dotage. Because I'm certainly not going to have any retirement.
Anything planned for retirement,
so she can take care of me. Yeah.
Does she have any heroes that she already gravitates towards?
She looked around and saw ones that she liked. Mm-hmm. She's played Luna a few times.
Okay.
And I think she actually likes Mirana too.
Oh, all right.
But I haven't gotten the idea of a skill shot across mm-hmm. to her yet.
Is this the daughter that really liked Crystal Maiden because of the puppy?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. I'm getting the sense that she likes cute heroes.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a bit of both. So, she likes the cute puppy, but mm-hmm. then she also loves Ursa. Yeah, so she loves like vicious animals. She loves Lycan because he turns into a wolf.
Okay.
Yeah, so but she doesn't go for Bane. Bane kind of freaks her out.
Right. He's
light looking. But so it's either gonna be Ursa or Crystal Maiden with a puppy.
Okay.
The two options.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah. So we haven't talked to you since TI.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on it.
I mean, a lot of the same. I'm so happy that there was a great storyline. I went to a game 5 the weekdays after. My coworkers were like, oh, how was your weekend? And I was like, oh, I got to watch the finals of my Super Bowl equivalent. And I told them all about the drama of
nice.
Teammates leaving and then them being scorned and then them meeting in the upper bracket to knock his former best friend down to the lower bracket and all that. It was all really great. I'm so happy for OG, and I thought of a terrible joke, but you know that I'm a true Optic Gaming fan, and Optic yep. Gaming is, I mean, their letters are pretty much OG, so in my heart,
yeah,
you know, OG 1, Optic Gaming 1, yay.
Yeah, I mean, the original OG was green, and Optic is green, so
yeah,
I think it's
there you
probably
go.
The same. How did your coworkers take, how did they react to that? I'm curious. React to it in all different ways.
Yeah, I think they were genuinely, happy to see how enthusiastic I was about something.
Okay.
Because, either I'm talking about my experiments, and I'm, the black sheep in the lab. First of all, because I'm one of the only girls in the lab. All the other students and trainees are male. The only other female in the lab is our technician. So the trainees are all male, and then there's me, okay. and then the technician. And so that's one thing. The other thing is that it's primarily a mouse lab, and I work with flies. So organism wise, I'm also different. And then by nature of working with the flies, I'm cloistered in my own room where I have all my flies. So I'm always alone in my own room doing different types of experiments, working with genes that they don't know, which have homologs in mice, but but they're like, oh, okay, yeah, you're doing this thing. That's cool, I guess. So I'm usually I'm just talking about that kind of stuff, and they feign interest, and they try to oh, okay, yeah, that's great. And then this time I was just oh, I'm not even going to talk about my experiments. I'm going to talk to you about Dota 2 and the epic battle between friendship and all that. And yeah, so it was great.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Continuing a bit of Sam's story. By the way, congrats, Sam.
Sam, yeah, he just got married yesterday, right?
Yeah,
I guess we're recording on Monday. I think they got married Sunday.
Congratulations, he's joined the ranks of the married We Like Dota hosts.
Yes.
And then continuing his plumbing discussion, tying it into your Drosophila discussion,
mm-hmm.
if you know of any ways to kill them, I think we have a whole bunch of flies in our kitchen, so
yeah. apple.
Send me an email afterwards on how best we can get rid of our fruit fly.
I'll give you issues. A one-liner. Just have a funnel into some jar that has apple vinegar on the bottom.
Okay.
Yeah. That's probably It'll the best trap way. Trap them all? I mean, not all, but...
Okay, enough.
Enough, yeah.
Okay. And I'll mail them up to you.
No, no, sure. No, thank you.
I'm sure customs will love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will cast them into the backyard where hopefully spiders will eat them.
Mm-hmm.
Next year it's going to be in China, though.
Oh, it is. And I'm so sad about that. Like, this year it was in Vancouver, and we have a place in Vancouver. Right. Matthew Toothlace is there now. And we're just like, no, you know, he just went back to school. I'm going to be in between jobs soon. So financially, you know, let's be good, reasonable adults and not spend, I guess it would have been like about $700 on tickets and minimal hats. Okay, maybe closer to $800. But, you know, yeah. Let's not spend this extra money that we don't have to right now because we have other life things. You know, we can just go next year. It'll either be here again in Vancouver or Seattle, maybe. And then they pull this grand reveal that it's going to be in China. I mean, I'm happy for Valve. I think it's in their interest. It's probably good to, you know, include other realms of the world in Dota, but selfishly, I'm very sad.
Yeah, likewise. I think it's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
But as I think Greg said on the last episode, you're always like, well, maybe next year. Maybe we could put something together, and you start thinking about it, and now it's just like, well, don't even worry about it. There's no way I'm convincing my boss to have a business trip to Shanghai.
And then convince your wife.
Right, yeah. Yeah, because we were talking about it. Like, there's, you know, you can maybe do it for a weekend or something.
Right.
You know? Or, like, especially if you're driving there, if you're reasonably close. But, like, I have to fly, you know, 11 time zones away for a week. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think there might be, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a DPC event in North America somewhere.
Yeah, like they're bringing in so many majors and minors now that I'm sure they'll have something in North America.
Yeah, because, you know, if you move TI out, it was always like, well, we have TI. Mm-hmm. And then every other place on Earth gets all the other tournaments.
Right.
But now without TI, I feel like they got to put something somewhere. Maybe it can be centrally located and a bunch of we like Dota folks can all meet.
Yeah.
Maybe it's near somewhere I can convince a business trip to occur. So, news of the week.
Mm-hmm.
We got a patch. We have the standard nerfing of the TI heroes.
Yeah.
It consists, like, entirely of nerfing, except for, like, Huskar's level 10 talent. Although his damage was also nerfed. And he's just Ice Frog, you know, kicking around the folks who were picked in all the games over the last couple weeks. So, number one, I have to point out, because I am a podcast host now and therefore a narcissist, I called the glyph thing. Where he would get rid of the glyph, like that glyph right away to win mid lane.
Right.
Yeah, when I saw CCNC talking about that at the summit, and he's like, well, yeah, I lost the whole mid lane because he glyphed before I did.
Right, yeah.
I was like, no, that's gone. It's like the offlane creep pull. It's like a little gimmick, and there's no way it's going to survive, and it didn't. But other than that, like, I thought they were kind of weird. I thought it was a little... Like, the one that I have a question about, maybe you can help me out, is the drow thing. So it says drow's agility was reduced a lot. Which makes sense. I mean, she was picked a lot, and agility just ties into so much of what she does. Mm-hmm. But her agility gain per level was increased. And then it said base damage is unchanged.
Right.
And now, so yeah, I was talking with Arian about it on the Discord. Is base damage like the number to which the agility base damage is added, or is it like the total damage that she does, like agi plus that number at level one?
Okay, so my understanding is that like agi will give you a certain amount of base damage. So okay. Like I think they separated the components. They may have lowered her base agility, and like before that, if they also didn't adjust any other part of the equation for her damage, that would have brought everything down. But like stats aside, all heroes have base damage, which is like a white colored text that you can then like, okay. If you buy a Demon Edge, it'll like add a green color text to that. That'll be like additional damage on top of your base damage. So I think like agility will factor into your base damage, but they just upped the amount to compensate for whatever she lost from losing agility. So her level one base damage is unchanged, but her agility is still lower, I think.
Oh, okay. Alright. No, I see that. So they mean like, when I just play StarCraft, everyone talked about like white damage and green damage.
Right.
And for whatever reason, like, that doesn't seem to be something that Dota people talk about much. But, white damage is like, So it just comes down to language. Like, I always said white damage is base damage plus agility damage.
But then
they're using it as base damage.
Yeah, but I think agility damage does get factored into base damage. Because base damage is what's used to calculate stuff like DD. Or, like, Morphling.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Right, his damage that he gains from attribute shifting is all because he's shifting into agility. Stuff like that.
Because now I'm over at the wiki looking at the change logs. And it says reduced base agility.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has increased base attack damage.
Yeah.
So like the wiki is using it the way I thought it was supposed to be used. The way I would even assert it has been used until now. But Valve just said base damage is unchanged, so like she won't be like incredibly difficult to last hit with at level one, but she just won't give as much aura to people, I guess?
Yes.
Okay. Alright, well that makes it a little easier. I thought she was pretty hammered at level one. But Arian was right on how that was calculated. So that's cool. What about Spectre? Spectre got all these... I know you play quite a bit of Spectre, as was teased earlier in the episode. I saw she got a bunch of nerfs, but they were very complicated, and I don't play Spectre. So I wanted to pick your brain as to what you think happened there.
So, I think there are a couple things going on. What I'm sure of is that her dispersion range thing, so that's the one that makes it so that when you hit her, the damage actually gets reflected to heroes in an AoE. That nerf, I think, is warranted, because I think it was pretty ridiculous before. Like, she can take basically a 1v5 fight, and it would be so hard to kill her. From that. So I think that nerf is good, because then it makes it so that ranged heroes are a little bit better against her. And then the other one that I think is a pretty sizable nerf to her is her dagger linger. So it took me a moment to understand what that meant. I thought at first it was linger on like the enemy unit, but I realize now it's actually that when Spectre casts her dagger, she can walk along that path, and she has a linger duration where she can like waver off of the path. So yeah. It made it so that she could do some insane jukes and stuff, and like catch people in pretty ridiculous scenarios and all that. Huh. So actually, I think that dagger nerf is warranted. I don't think it's like too much of a nerf or anything. I thought 2 seconds was really too much because you could like cast a straight line dagger and then kind of, if you've ever played Spectre or seen it, seen a Spectre do this, they'll like walk into the trees like, I don't know,
yeah,
like 150 units away from where her dagger line actually is, and that's because of the linger. So now it just restricts a little bit more the mobility that she gets from dagger, which I think is good. What I'm uncertain of, though, is how this... the other nerf she did get was that the Desolate application is also stricter now, so that before it would apply the bonus damage if there were enemy units within 375, now it's down to 325. So I think all these are fine. What I'm unsure of is why in the first place Spectre got so big. Like, I don't know what about the 212 meta now makes it so that she suddenly became popular. So broadly, I'm not sure like how these will or maybe won't affect anything, because I think she's still strong in terms of being able to give the mid-game presence because of her haunt, and still turn into such a great late-game carry. But yeah, that's about all I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sam and I even spent time trying to figure out why Spectre was good.
Mm-hmm.
What I find fascinating about her is that, like, she's a terrible laner, and then everything became 2-1-2, and you just have to win your lane. Like, lanes are everything.
Right.
And then at TI, like, really active, moving, roaming supports, like, won all the games.
Right.
and heroes like safe lane Ember, Spectre. These heroes that, you know, if it was a 2-1-2, you just have to win your lane's meta, shouldn't do well. Did really well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, like you said, you know, if you don't know why she's gotten that good, it's hard to say kind of what effect the nerfs are going to have.
Yeah. Yeah, like, one thing I have noticed, I guess, is that the game right now doesn't seem to focus so much on having your carry get off to that great of a start. Like, that used to be much more of an emphasis before, like a couple patches ago. But now it seems like you need the roaming supports that you mentioned and also the offlaner to get their good start. And by default of having the offlaner get their good start, that would mean that both carry positions are kind of put on the back foot. But then I think it's a matter of having position ones who can, by mid-game, still have some sort of relevance to get into a fight and make something of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So... like, I think Anti-Mage I haven't seen too much of for that reason, because if he has a hard lane, I think it's then also kind of hard for him to come back into it. I guess he can still, like, blink in, do his, you know, mana void to clean up, but I don't know. I feel I'm talking on my ass here. I'm not exactly... not entirely sure.
Welcome to We Like Dota.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the Anti-Mage thing, too. I think I might go back... I ban Tinker every game. I might go back to banning Anti-Mage just so my teammates don't pick him. Because I used to do that.
Yeah.
And I had a teammate pick Anti-Mage. And his lane did not go well.
Yeah.
And that was the game.
Yeah.
And So, yeah, I feel like those guys who need that early, you know, X item or whatever to kind of get started, mm-hmm. right? Like the battle theory with Animage. Maybe the Radiance on Naga. I don't know. Not that anyone has played that in like
it's a been year a and long half. Time since we've had a core Naga.
I know. I like it though.
Yeah.
But what can you do? Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll find out why these carries are being picked. Was there anything that you expected to be in the patch, but didn't see?
So inadvertently, yes. I expected the Enchantress and Dark Willow nerfs, but what I thought that they would nerf, or they, Ice Frog, would nerf would be either for Enchantress, her untouchable and or her heal, Nature's Attendance, but instead he nerfed her move speed, which, right. like, I think that was something that was, that made her even more powerful is that she can, that she's a ranged hero who is so fast, she comes in, plinks you, and then just bounces away, and you can't even, like, yeah. attack her because your attacks will get slowed. And if you have some kind of magic burst, she still heals. So, I don't know. I still think that her untouchable and Nature's Attendance are really strong. I don't know if the nerf to move speed is enough. But maybe. Huh. Like, maybe I'm just not giving enough credence to move speed. And then for Dark Willow, I thought that the nerfs would be to either or both of her ultimates, Bedlam right. and Terrorize, but instead it was to Cursed Crown and something else, or was it just Cursed Crown? It was Cursed Crown and her Shadow Realm damage, so yep. when she becomes invulnerable and then casts her thing. And it, and the Shadow Realm damage one is only early levels. So that, there again, like, that's nerfing her early game impact. Like, Shadow yeah. Realm is really used to harass in the early game and trade and stuff like that. And Curse Crown, now I guess it's a little bit harder for, or not harder, but she's a bit slower at casting it.
Right.
But, like, to me, the reason she was so strong is how often she could cast her Terrorize and Bedlam. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so, again, I'm not sure if these are the right nerfs, but maybe nerfing those things would just completely ruin them as heroes. I'm not Ice Frog, so yep. I trust that he has more intuition, or she, he or she has more intuition about these types of things and how to best balance them. But yeah, those are the things I definitely wasn't expecting.
Yeah, as far as Dark Willow, I too thought that he would do something about Terrorize and Bedlam, but since all the stuff he did was to the early game, I feel like the idea is you can't have Dark Willow be like an early game monster and a late game monster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so he's trying to make Dark Willow into like just an incredible late game team fighting support who struggles a bit more in the laning phase, rather than one who is amazing in the laning phase and an amazing
mm-hmm.
late game support. I feel like she was like never a bad pick.
Yeah, okay.
At TI.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because like I feel like that's one of his like balance principles. It's like you can't have everything. Like Leshrac at TI5 like would win the lane because lightning was OP, and then could flash farm like crazy. And with all that money, could become a late game, like, unkillable beast.
Right.
And, like, you know, to contrast with Viper, who is, like, the ultimate lane bully, but couldn't farm in late game, would be, like, not that great.
Mm-hmm.
Or Spectre, who late game is the unkillable beast, but early game isn't any good.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's hard to say. I guess we'll see. The next couple events, whether or not these take.
Yeah.
I thought, I was expecting a lot of changes to the XP talents. In particular, Weaver's XP talent, since he's like a core or a carry with a level 10 XP talent. But it's still there. I expected it to be gone. My reach pick, my reach prediction was that he was going to remove all XP talents. Yeah, but I still think that might come in 7.20. But, Weaver got like, I guess, a mana cost nerf to bugs at low levels. So now you have to, I don't know, like if you have to buy treads and tread switch now. Maybe. Because people so used minor. To go. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like. Because like the cooldown of bugs at low levels is really long anyway. Mm-hmm. So I was surprised that Weaver got through. I could see him being a big hero coming up. In terms of something I didn't expect that kind of surprised me, I thought the Sheepstick nerf, on Reddit, it seemed like everyone was like, ha ha ha, Tinker, I hate you, that you can't do this.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect it, because, I don't know, I didn't feel like, I mean, no one was picking Tinker at TI. And like, was it for, and I thought it was probably for like Clinks, because Clinks used to buy Sheepstick a lot. But Clinks sheeps you, and then you're dead in the time you're a sheep. So he's not, like, sheeping a whole bunch of times.
Right.
Do you have any thoughts on the Sheepstick nerf?
I don't. It also surprised me, and if you weren't already going to say it, I would have said it. And, I mean, Reddit is right. It does hurt Tinker, because you would be infinitely sheeps. Like, if he found you and got on you, he would just continuously hex you, and it was unbearable. So I appreciate that, but I think you're right. It does a bit seem to come out of nowhere. And for heroes, like, there would be the odd like agility hero that might pick it up, like Clinks, as you mentioned, or I've seen it on Ursa sometimes. And being agility heroes, they don't have too much of a mana pool, so maybe it's like that. In that way it affects them as well, but it just seems so random, because it didn't feel like Sheepstick was getting picked up too much or anything like that, right?
It wasn't like the Sheepstick TI.
So I don't know.
Is there anything else that surprised you about the patch?
In addition to Sheepstick, I also didn't expect the minor phase boots nerf. What was it exactly? Phase boots. The speed bonus on ranged heroes reduced from 16% to 13%. And instant turn rate is now a melee-only feature. So the instant turn rate, when I read that, I was like, oh, I didn't realize that was a feature. but just seeing the fact that phase boots got a nerf made me realize just how much I like phase boots.
Oh, really?
So I remember a long time ago, I played a game with you as Underlord, and I built phase boots on him. And afterwards, you were like, why the hell did you build phase boots?
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, and I was, if I'm not playing a hero that needs treads, because treads are like the smart pair of boots that you would go if you're doing anything that vaguely requires or could benefit from it. So if I'm not playing that type of hero, then I'll usually, and it's also not a hero that will build like arcanes or anything like that needs the arcanes. I'll build phase boots, and that's how I felt about Underlord. That's generally how I feel about some carries that I play. Like, they're, we were talking about Spectre earlier, we're going to talk about Mirana later, but unless I feel like I need the stats from power treads, I'll actually opt to build phase boots on those heroes. But yeah, just like the being able to phase through stuff is so nice for last hitting, getting into the right position to get to people. I don't know. It's subtle, and I don't know how much it actually matters. It's 16% down to 13%, so I mean, that's a little bit, but yeah. I wasn't expecting it. Don't know how much it'll actually affect me, but I have come to realize that I really like face boots.
That's okay. I mean, the first step is acknowledging the problem. So I love the discovery of something when it's nerfed out of the game. That was like the Grimstroke nerf patch, mini patch. And it was like the 2 second 80% slow associated with his nuke is now dispellable. And I'm like, oh, there was an undispellable 2 second 80% slow associated with that. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. You missed out.
It's like, yeah, like, oh, that's bonkers.
Yeah.
Maybe they should not have done that. Yeah, that is weird about the phase boot. Like, I can't think of any times you saw a bunch of people with phase boots, like, kiting other heroes, like, ranged phase boot wearers kiting heroes in TI.
Yeah, I don't even know. But it does make me realize that I will build phase boots a lot. And
yeah, I often find myself, like, trying to use phase boots if I don't have them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always have them on S, and I like to build them on heroes too, and then like if I'm trying to get somewhere quickly, I'll be like S,
yeah,
and I'll just be like changing my treads instead of actually going faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait, what do you? If you have your item slot is S, what do you? How do you interrupt channels or stop?
Okay. Yeah. So, what happened? How did this come about? My item slots are SDF ZXC.
Okay.
A is still attack. And I changed caps lock to stop.
Oh, okay.
So, what you'll probably hear if I'm trying to interrupt one of my own channels is me, like, mashing on the keyboard, just hitting shift and tab a lot.
okay.
Because I, like, how often do you ever hit caps lock? Like when you're typing.
Right.
Like, I avoid caps lock. It's like the whole point of caps lock. But, so I use caps lock to stop things.
Okay.
That's the one peculiarity in terms of my hotkeys, I think.
I actually don't know if I have... I must have caps lock bound to something, but I don't know what it is right now.
Yeah. I had someone yelling at me in... He was yelling at me in Legacy Keys. I was playing Earthshaker. Mm-hmm. He was upset because I didn't use my F.
and you're like, my teleport scroll?
Yeah, that's my blink dagger.
Oh, okay.
My teleport scroll is always on C.
Oh, okay. But
we all have our weird things.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like, you know, WTF, ES, no F here. And I replied, no compute, because I didn't know what he was talking about. And then he explained himself, and he was right. I should have used Fisher. And then he said, like, QWE user, SMH, like, shake my head. And I was like, click, muted. Everyone in my game is muted. And then we won. No thanks to my Fishers. But I was not going to deal with that. No one. If you have the MMR to end up in my pub, you're not making fun of me for not using legacy keys, brother. Mm-hmm. You've been playing a lot longer than me, and you're still bad.
So, get him, Jim. Get him.
Yeah, that's my healthy relationship with Dota.
Yeah.
So speaking of phase boots, you had mentioned that you build phase boots on Mirana.
I
remember building phase boots on Mirana too.
Mm-hmm.
Back when you used to go Hags Blink and I'd pretend I was Sumail. So you are a bit of an expert on Marana. You have the level 6 chat sounds, which goodness. Are
you have learned wondrously nothing. Obnoxious. And catch yes. us if you can.
The best.
Oh, so good.
Nothing tilts enemies more than you have learned nothing. And so you are going to give me and our listeners a master class on the Priestess of the Moon.
Oh, dear.
Princess of the Moon? Whatever it is. Now she's princess. She was priestess. Boy, we spent a lot of time talking about that in this episode. In any case, Marana, Charlene, go ahead.
All right. So she is my most played hero at 413. However, I have a sub 50% win rate with her. So yes. Take that with a grain of salt. Take any advice I have with a grain of salt that I love this hero. I like to think that I am decent with her, but my stats argue against that.
That's love, though. That shows how much you enjoy playing the hero.
I really enjoy this hero. I think she is my Pudge. Pudge, I don't know if he still is, but he's one of the most popular heroes, right? Just because it's fun to throw hooks, right? And
yeah.
So for that same reason, I and probably many other Marana players find it fun to throw arrows. And I have my own custom in-game build thing for her, and it's called shoot arrow, hit arrow, a la Sing Sing, who nice. For a long time was one of the best Marana players in the world.
Yeah.
Anyways, should we start with her abilities, I guess?
Yeah, let's run through the abilities so folks know what we're talking about.
Sure. Okay. So Marana is a ranged... what are all her classifications? She's a ranged nuker, escaper... I think it... carry, support, disabler.
Is that really what it is in the game?
I'm looking on the wiki and it says... Rules, carry, yeah. support, escape, nuker, disabler.
Yeah, she is. She's all of them.
Yeah. And I would say in the current meta right now, she is played as more of the carry, nuker, disabler. But for a while, she was a support. But anyway, she has 4 skills, 3 of which I think are defining of her. Her first one, called Star Storm... sometimes called Starfall, because that's what she says when she uses the spell, is an AoE ability that will call down a wave of meteors to damage nearby enemy units. And the closest enemy unit within a bit of a smaller radius will then be struck a second time with 75% of the damage. And then it scales, as you rank it up, it basically scales in damage. So she has an AGS for this, which will add basically a passive 10-second timer to trigger Starstorm anytime there's an enemy around. And you briefly mentioned that for a while you were channeling your inner Sumail with face boots, Ags, Blink, and it was because the idea would be that you would blink in, since you have an Ags, it would passively proc your Starstorm, and you would blink right on top of them, and as I mentioned, there would be a second cast on anything, the closest enemy unit within a certain radius, so you would blink on them, the passive would proc, and then you would do your Starstorm again, and that effective damage, oh dear, let me do math real quick. At level 4, that effective damage would be 300 plus 225 times 2, so that's 525, that's 1050.
Yeah,
so you would do before any magic block or anything like that, you could do up to 1,050 magic damage, instantaneously, which is crazy.
Oh, it was great. It was so much fun.
Yeah, so much fun. And that the axe build on her is still a thing. I think it can be done, but the advent of talent trees and such have made it so that she's played now much more as a damage per second right click hero rather than this magic build. So Starstorm now is used for, like, in team fights and stuff, you want to leap in, do your Starstorm, and it's still good, but I think now it's used more so for farming and stuff, not so much for getting the ags blinking in and blowing up someone with that and an E-blade or something like that. Because that was the extension of the build. Your core was blink ags, but then you could also get Dagon E-blade.
Oh, it was the best. You blink E-blade someone, hit him with two Star Storms, then Dagon.
Yeah.
You could pull it off like once per game, and you get to kill one guy. But it was so much fun when you did.
Right. Okay. Her second skill, her W for us non-legacy players, is yeah. Sacred Arrow, which I think is the first of her defining skills. So
yeah.
I mentioned off the bat that I love throwing arrows. It's not about always hitting the arrows. Same mentality as Pudge or any other skill shot thing. It's not about how many you, like, it's not about your success rate. It's about how many you actually end up landing. So Sacred Arrow itself is, it's a long range, single line. What am I trying to say? It shoots in a straight line. And it is an arrow that will travel along that trajectory for up to 3,000 units, which is basically two screens away.
I didn't realize it was that far.
It's super far. Sorry, super, super far. And upon hitting an enemy unit, if it is a creep, it'll instantly kill it, as long as it's not an ancient creep. And if it's a hero, it'll do damage and it'll disable them with a stun proportional to the amount of distance traveled from wherever Mirana was when she cast it. It does travel a max distance of up to 3,000, but the important thing about Arrow is that that damage and stun duration is actually capped out at half that distance, which is 1,500. So.
Oh, I don't think I knew that. I thought, like, longer was always better.
Yeah, so longer is better up to a certain point. 1,500 as a distance is basically one screen height for you, or if it's screen width, it's about like 75 to 80% of your screen width. So if you can see the enemy target in your screen right now, your hero is positioned on one edge and they're at the other end. That's roughly going to be about 1,500. And she actually has voice lines for when she gets that maximum distance. She says bullseye. So that's really helpful. Not only that, but if she just hits any enemy hero, she'll say like yes or perfect or something like that. And that's actually sometimes useful because you don't always see the enemy. Sometimes they're invisible or smoked or something like that. And if the line procs, you'll be like, oh, I actually hit someone. And then you guys can dust or whatever to try and figure out what you hit.
Oh, that's neat. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So she always says yes, perfect, or just says yes or perfect. And
yeah, something affirmative. I know that, like, you had mentioned that it kills non-ancient creeps, and so it can, you know, be used to farm large cans or something, because you could just kill that guy with one shot. But she still always has the voice, like the negative voice line.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I was aiming for that. Because, like, yeah, me, I still miss, like, the big creep and I'll end up hitting the little ones. But, like, so when I hit the big one, I'm excited.
Yeah.
And then she's like, Sanava.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, it's good.
Yeah. And then she has ones for Roshan, which are always hilarious because, so I have however many 400-something games played with her. I've missed more Roshan arrows than I care to admit. because I like to blame my teammates, because sometimes when they aggro Roshan, it'll like move forward or whatever. But I think the other thing I do is, like the easier way to target it is that you can actually just target the endpoint, but I'll actually screw myself up because I might target it right in front of me, and there are always like stairs and stuff right in front of Roshan. So the elevation changes actually sometimes screw up projectile mechanics of things.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess I hadn't really thought of that.
Yeah, like on the opposite side, sometimes I know I've been playing against a Mirana, and I'll see an arrow coming at me and I'll say, oh, that won't hit me, but then it like travels up the stairs and then it like, it also moves up the stairs, so then it hits me and I'm like, oh, that's dumb. So anyways, I think that the fact that the damage and stun are capped at 1500, I think that's a really underutilized thing, because I think one of the huge satisfactions of playing Mirana is like landing those long range arrows or something, right? Like out of nowhere. But practically speaking, like to be effective at the hero, to get the most out of arrow, you don't actually need to do it from more than, I guess, 1501 units away. And there was a nice tip in the wiki, that 1500 distance actually corresponds with 1.75 seconds of travel time for the arrow. So that basically translates into, if you can if you can hit something that is 1.75 seconds away from you, it will be, she should say bullseye, and it should be a max stun, max damage arrow.
Right, and that's also really useful for like setup stuns.
Yes.
So like if someone has like, what is it? Is Frostbite 2 seconds at first?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, like Frostbite, and then if you shoot right away, provided you're sufficiently far enough away, right. So it hits right about the end of the Frostbite.
Yeah, then you'll know it's a maximum duration thing, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I think you already mentioned it, but I have it in my notes to emphasize that since the full duration or full travel distance is about 3,000, and also where the arrow ends, it actually gives a lingering like 3 seconds of flying vision or something like that. And for the entire like travel duration of arrow, you get a little bit of vision around the arrow. You can use arrow to scout. You don't always have to use it as a stun. So if you guys happen to be taking a tower or something, and you are wondering if there's an enemy in the trees, you can actually just shoot an arrow straight into the trees, and it'll give you vision in that area, something like that. And then if there is someone, you know, who happens to be in the trees waiting to pounce on you because you're taking their tower, then you would have stunned them, and that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, arrow is like just such a super fun ability. It's one of those like real Dota abilities.
Oh, it's so fun.
Yeah.
So much fun. Okay. And I think you mentioned it, or did I? Or you reemphasized and I mentioned that it kills non-ancient creeps.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, that can be used in to secure last hits, like if you want to get the ranged or siege creep or something like that, or while you're jungling, you can always kill the big creep and, you know, just focus on auto-attacking the little ones. The other thing that it's actually nice against is like Chen or Enchantress or any hero that builds a Helm of the Dominator. You can actually use it to instantly kill one of their creeps.
Oh, yeah.
And for this, it doesn't matter because the arrow instantly kills it. It doesn't have to be from long range. You can get up close to it and then immediately shoot it, and that increases your likelihood of killing the creep that you want. But I guess one very small note is that arrow itself is actually cast like 50 units in front of Mirana. So if Mirana is standing right on top of something else, it's possible that her arrow will shoot right past them because it doesn't search for units behind, obviously. So I guess it is important to like get close to what you want to kill, but don't get too close because you could screw yourself and like actually just completely miss what you were aiming for.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Now I'm going to get into the meat of it. How to land an arrow.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we gotta know how to do this.
So I think the reason I'm going to get a little philosophical here. One of the main reasons I love Dota so much is not because of the mechanics of the game, but because of the little mini mind games that there are within the game. So I think we may have touched on it when I was doing the CM thing. Like, I really like using her Q to deward and stuff because any kind of hero that gives you flying vision like that is great for dewarding, and dewarding is its own mind game. The same goes for skill shots. So Mirana's arrow, I guess clockwork, pudge, anything that's not targeted that you then have to hit. All these kinds of things are in and of themselves little mind games. And what I think helps the most with winning these mind games is putting yourself in the position of whoever you're trying to target. So I think it's less relevant now for her since she's played mostly as a core, but like when she was a roamer, to land those sick arrows and stuff, you would want to, one, like watch whoever your target is to kind of watch their last hitting pattern, because most people, when they last hit, they'll kind of move like side to side or up and down or something like that as they're waiting for their last hit. So you want to figure out that pattern and then time it so that you can hit the arrow once they're going for their last hit, because they are stationary for that moment when they're getting their last hit. And
wow,
I guess
that's some serious mind games.
Yeah.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, so it's in the early game, like while people are last hitting, that's the time you want to be, like, how you want to be positioning your arrow is when they're going for the last hits. But the other thing is actually to consider the fact that if they're last hitting, their eyes are going to be on the screen, like positioned with their hero towards the bottom, the creeps in the middle, right? So if you can actually try to arrow them from behind, that will also increase the likelihood, because their field of vision is kind of set to be in front of them, right? So if you can get them from behind, that'll also help you. All this is kind of moot because she's not really played as a roamer right now. She's more played as a core, but if she ever gets picked up as a roamer, I'm trying to cover my bases for, you know, next week when Purge inevitably drops his, this is how you actually play Mirana.
Right. But then does the universe know that? And so it's now rewriting the future.
I like Dota mind games, but I don't like universe mind games.
Yeah. Universe is too hard. Yeah.
Okay. So those are two things. And then the last thing, which is more general, it's not just restricted to laning, but in general, you want to shoot the arrow in the direction that is parallel with whatever path your target will be taking. And this is just like physics, right? Like, it's easier to land, because I mentioned that arrow is a straight line, it's easier to land, you know, hitting that straight line on a target if you're shooting in the same direction as the target is moving rather than trying to catch the intersection. But that said, I know it's really fun to be able to perfectly predict, you know, oh, this person, like landing sun strikes, stuff like that, like tracking their movement and then throwing the arrow right where they're going to be. There's actually a custom game that I play every now and then that will help with those kinds of things. It's called the Polygon Trainer or something like that. So you can load in any hero that has a skill shot, and it's, you can make it difficult for yourself. You can actually like have the game spawn trees for you and stuff like that, and it'll have like a, I think it's an anti-mage who will default walk, but you can also increase the difficulty by having him blink. and then you have to just practice landing your skill shots on this walking slash blinking anti-mage whose vision, or your vision is obscured by trees.
Wow. That sounds really cool. I gotta check that out.
It's fun.
Do you have, so Mirana, I've often said Mirana is my hard counter.
Oh, really?
Yes, because I catch all the arrows. Like, it doesn't matter what's happening,
mm-hmm.
the arrow will avoid, like, 15 creeps and all four of my allies. And all four of my ally meepos,
mm-hmm.
and somehow hit me. And it always happens. Do you have any tips for not getting hit by arrows?
Not getting hit by the arrow. My tip is, I mean, it's tough. It's dependent on you knowing where the hero is, and they're going to know that you want to know where they are, right? So they're going to try to shoot from Fog of War and stuff like that.
Right.
But I would just say that my tips would be to not be predictable. Like, if you're running away, right, don't just move in a straight line.
Serpentine.
Yeah, serpentine, stuff like that. That applies to sun strikes, right? You're low, you just left this fight, and you're walking back to base. You don't want to be walking in a straight line because that's easy. Well, I mean, not relatively easy, I guess, for a skilled invoker player to land that sunstrike, or for a Mirana to come in and shoot her arrow. So either stalling, walking in a squiggle, or not going on a straight path. Like, don't just click on base. Like, take some weird route. That helps. The other that might help is to be wary of choke points. So I mentioned that like, you'll want to shoot parallel to a path. So if,
or like down like the river when there aren't stairs around.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like any kind of stair, I think, in the map is a choke point. Like, there's only so many places you can go. And like the hero hitbox is a small circle that's under the hero, and a choke point is defined by, you know, like, the path narrows, so then your hitbox occupies more of that space. So if you're like worried that a Mirana arrow might be incoming, you'll want to avoid choke points where you're kind of cornered into taking a certain route that you don't want to. Stuff like that.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And so her third ability...
Oh, her third ability is Leap.
Which makes her kill you super fast.
Yes. So I love the change that they made to Leap. I actually don't remember when they implemented this change, but Leap used to be a single spell. So right now it's charge-based, where you get three charges that cools down either 60, 50, or 40. 60, 50, 40, or 30 seconds based on whatever rank it is. And it's a set 550 units that you leap. It used to be that as you level it up, the cooldown of leap itself and also the distance increase. But now it's, I think by having it charge based, it now makes it so that she can either use it offensively or defensively or both. Meaning that she can leap in, nuke someone down, and then leap back out. So it's super fun. The only trickiness with it is that she will only leap in the direction that she's facing. So sometimes you have to like reorient yourself to make sure that you leap in the right direction, or you can like, you know, do something and then you'll have kind of clicked to the side and then now your leap is a little bit wonky from how you meant it to be.
Right.
But you're right that it's what makes her kill you really fast, because what she gets from it is an attack speed, which there's a talent for. That she can get like a plus 80 on top of what she already gets from leap. That was nerfed, by the way. It used to be plus 100.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I think it's a warranted nerf. She definitely, leap is very strong. So I think that that's fine. But yeah. I still think it makes her, it's not like so much of a nerf that it's not playable. What was I going to say? Oh, the next level thing that you can do with leap though, and this is so frustrating for people, is that you actually leap, you cast your arrow first and then leap to cover the arrow with your body, like with your hero mount, so that they don't see it. So that gives them less time to react, and then they'll get hit by your arrow, and by the time you've landed from your leap, you already have your attack bonus, attack speed bonus, so you're just laying into them when they're stunned. It is that's high level Mirana play, but it when you do it successfully, it is so fun.
Oh yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, I mean the problem though is that you are trusting, because you're shooting your arrow first and then you're leaping in that same direction, you're trusting that the arrow will land. If it doesn't land, then you've just leapt in closer to them. And you know, you still get your attack speed buff, but
Well, I mean, just play against me and the arrow will land. You don't have to leap with it, but you might as well, because then you can get the full combo off.
Yeah,
that's pretty wild. I never even thought of that. I know, like, I've seen people talk about like shooting your auto attacks and then timing your arrow so it's like the same time as the auto attack. Just to like,
I think that's hard, and it's also you don't get that much range from that, I guess, because your arrow can be shot from up to 3,000 units.
That's true, yeah.
And I guess leap is only 550 units, but using two charges of leap, you can shoot an arrow that was 1,000 units away and leap with it.
Yeah. Right?
And you don't want to use all three charges offensively unless it's like absolutely you're safe. It's kind of like Ember Spirit. You don't want to use all your remnant charges just to kill someone.
Right.
You kind of always want to have that one safety one to get out in case anything goes bad.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So
speaking of getting out when things go bad, she has her Everyone is Invisible ultimate.
Yeah, her final trademark spell, Moonlight Shadow.
I feel like Moonlight Shadow was very, like, overlooked until they put that talent in. That was, at the time, it was something like almost 100% uptime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they first...
And then everybody kind of realized... Yeah, everybody kind of realized how good it was, and now everyone realizes it's really good even without that talent. Like,
I don't know about that. I think I kind of felt like it was always good.
All right.
I think, but then again, I really like Mirana, so.
Yeah. Well, for those of us who know what they're doing, Jim, actually.
No. Well, Shadow is actually really hard to coordinate with, like, pubs. Like random people and stuff, because so what it does is it makes you and all your allies invisible, but it'll There's a little like icon that appears above a hero that it is under Moonlight Shadow. So if anyone is visible on the map and they go into Moonlight Shadow, there's like a 2.5 second delay, I think, on rank one, and it goes down to, I want to say, 1.5 seconds. Let me check really quick. Yeah, 1.5 seconds. So there is a cast delay on when Moonlight Shadow is cast and when the invisibility actually takes effect. So if one of your allies is last hitting in lane and the enemy team happens to be watching them within the fade delay time period, they'll actually see the little moon crescent over their head and they'll know that everyone else on the enemy is Moonlight Shadowed.
Okay.
So it's like smoking under a ward. The enemy is immediately tipped off to the fact that, you know, you guys are doing something aggressive and they'll back up.
That's true.
So it's hard to coordinate.
But you're still in Viz.
Offensively. Yeah. But I still thought and do think it's really strong because similarly in pub games, it's so easy to use it defensively because there's only so much detection that the enemy team will usually have. Like if everyone on your team is invisible, they might put sentries down like in a single location, but it's hard for them to have like enough sentries and dusts or, you know, whatever to cover being able to see everyone who would have been affected by Moonlight Shadow. So
Yeah, because, and, like, you don't think, like, it's not like you're playing against Bounty Hunter or Ricky, and, like, you're prepped with all your invis stuff, or even Slark, who's going to be invis a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, there's the Mirana, and, you know, you might have dust when you're going after her, but then you're going after someone else.
Right.
And then they turn invis, and you're like, oh, come on.
And it's so hard, because you'll usually have one support who will have, you know, the detection and stuff, but if it's a dust, they've popped their dust and now dust is on a cooldown. They can't re-pop dust to, you know,
next
person who, oh, they're also Moonlight Shadow, that's right. Maybe we'll put down a sentry, but fights are usually chaotic, kind of moving around, so I think it's really powerful in team fights.
It is. Do you ever build the Octarine core? So you, at 25th level, you have 4.5 second downtime.
I did actually like write that down, that it's possible, but I've never personally done it. I just think it's like Octarine is like 5,300 gold or something like that.
Yeah, it's super expensive.
It's pretty expensive. Like, I think there are better items that you can get with that.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah. But it is possible. And then get an arcane rune on top of it.
Oh, yeah. Just make sure you get all the arcane runes. So, like, yeah, do you have any, like, just kind of general playstyle things? You know, I mean, this was so packed full of tips for using all the skills. But, yeah, what's, like, the general flow of how one plays Mirana for anyone interested?
So I think right now, because of her attack speed buff, and she also actually has a talent for mana break as well, those two make her a good DPS right-click hero right now. But I still think that she could be a good support position. Not a 5, definitely not a 5, but a solid 4, because she's good at roaming, especially if she's paired with someone else who can set things up for her to guarantee her arrow. That's really good. And it doesn't have to be another support to set things up. You could have a carry with a stun who can, you know, initiate prematurely, and then the Mirana was lurking in the woods and they'll follow up with the arrow. I still think that could be viable.
Cool.
And at the very beginning, we did talk about the fact that she has the magic damage build. where she gets eggs and stuff like that.
What do you build? Like, if you're playing the roaming, what do you get? Do you get, like...
The roaming, I would actually get arcanes, because you're casting so many arrows that aren't guaranteed to hit. Mana does become more of an issue for you. And general utility items are good on her for a roamer, I would say. So the arcane boots, but then, like, getting urn, maybe medallion or into solar crest, something like that. She can actually set stuff up for herself if she wants with an Atos or a Yules. And both those items are nice because the Atos will give her a little bit more survivability, the Yules will give her more mana regen. So those are interesting. The conventional the conventional build right now on her though is as a core that right clicks. So either phase or treads. I prefer phase, treads if you want to tank up and have more stats. And then first item, Maelstrom, actually, I think, like core item. Getting a intermediate Aquila and Wand are good ideas, but I think a first item Maelstrom is good for both damage and helps her farm, because the lightning procs and stuff make it so that she can clear waves between that and her Starstorm.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. Do you find generally, like, Maelstrom is, like, slower? Like, I know it has less attack speed.
Yeah.
But, like, I find it, like, almost frustrating sometimes. Like, on heroes that I used to buy Maelstrom on, like, if I buy it now.
Because it doesn't proc as much?
Nah, just because, like, you don't get any attack speed with it. Yeah. So, like that little bit of attack speed you'd get would just, like, help out the hero.
Yeah. I guess.
I mean, it was like a while ago.
Because I guess I always used to build it on heroes that kind of have built in attack speed. So I would build it on like Windranger, Mirana, Drow.
Yeah.
Even like they get the attack speed just based on their agility or their skills.
Right.
But like I've never really played Ember or anything like that who does build Maelstrom and like. I would imagine would feel the lack of attack speed.
Yeah, right. That actually wants to right click a little more.
Yeah. I did a quick DPS thing though, and I found that MKB is actually the single item between. Well, I shouldn't say single item. I tested Mjolnir, MKB. Butterfly, Assault Cuirass, Diffusal. And MKB out of those gives the most DPS, which I found really interesting.
This is actual research being done for the We Like Dota listeners. This is amazing. So is that for any hero or just for Mirana?
I just tested it on Mirana, and I think it comes from her attack speed buff, like that she gets from Leap.
Okay.
So I should explain better the parameters of this. So I just loaded in, did level 25, but I didn't level up any of her talents, and then it was just that single item. So I leapt towards the donkey, was close to the donkey, and then I shot at it for I think it was like 7 auto attacks, so like 5 seconds or something like that, and I just like compared between the different items.
Interesting. MKB is cheaper than I thought it was.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's only 4,100. I thought it was more than that.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's good to know. I think.
I was thinking about what I build on her, and I was like, I usually go Maelstrom, and then I like building MKB, and then finish the Maelstrom into a Mjolnir. And I was like trying to, and then scattered in there if I needed a BKB or something like that. And I was trying to figure out why I go MKB. and my my post hoc rationalization for it is because it apparently is a great DPS item.
Wow, so you're at the level where your just intuition about what to purchase happens to be the mathematically optimal solution.
That's what I'm arguing, but
I'll go with it. I think we're gonna run with it. That's gonna be the official position. We like Dota.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now moving on to the most important aspect of any hero. And again, you have groundbreaking research.
Yes.
Potentially surprising research here.
Yeah. So last time I did
to share
this
with our listeners.
For Crystal Maiden. Oh, and by the way, we're talking about cosmetics. Hats before strats.
Yeah, for anyone who didn't pick up that. Jim's talking about the hero. It must be cosmetics.
Yeah. So last time when I did CM, I was like, wow, she has like 1 million something combinations from all these different sets that she has. So Mirana blows this out of the water. I think it actually comes from the fact that she has more hero slots. So this is why she has more combinations. CM only had 5. Mirana has 7. She has a bow. She has cute little bracers. She has a chest piece, a hair piece, a quiver piece for all her arrows, a skirt, and a mount.
Whoa, so there's a lot.
I think that is why she has so many. But she has 10 different sets, which is an impressive number. She then has 7, outside of sets, she has 7 mounts. It's not practical, though, for everyone to have all 7 mounts, because one of them is like an $850 bunny mount that you got from buying a statue at TI7, and it came with a digital unlock for this bunny.
Oh, man.
So that's one of them.
Yeah, look at that thing.
Another one is, another two, I should say, are kind of duplicates of each other. One of them was first released in the Perfect World servers, in China servers. And it was like the Night Griffin or something like that.
Oh, I see. Yeah, the Night Silver Griffin.
Yeah, and then they remade that item into one that would be released for like Valve servers. Called the Moon Griffin item, and that was aptly released in the Dota Asia Championship treasure in 2015, which has the same, when I was looking it up, it actually has that pink flower jug sword that you always mentioned that you like so much.
Ooh, the Sarakura. Yes. Yeah, any opportunity to mention my Sarakura, I'm happy.
Yeah, so those two mounts, the two griffins, are very similar. And then you have an $850 mount. And then you also have the most recent mount for her that was released in the
co-op. Oh, yeah.
It's $89 right now. So, I mean, still expensive, but not $850.
Yeah, there's even, like, there's the lionfish one.
Mm-hmm, the lionfish one.
And there's that... the one with the tail that lights up that I know Sumail uses.
What?
The Darkfall Warden.
Oh, yeah.
You ever see that one? That's like $60 set, too.
Yeah,
she has a lot of really expensive ones.
Yeah, the Darkfall Warden, I just have the hair from that set. Like, the set itself is too expensive for me, but I did just buy the hair because I really like the style of the hair.
Nice. Yeah, what do you use?
Oh, I mix it up. I think right now I have it on the Saber Lynx mount. Let's see, what is the full name for that? It's the Sapphire Saber Lynx. Oh, it's pretty close. I also really like the Moon Griffin because it makes a little bird-like sound. Along those lines, the Owl, Owlion from Night Silver. That one also has a cute little sound when she does her leap.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
The Moonrift mount, it's like a blue lion. I like that mount.
Yeah.
Also the Storm the Snowstorm Huntress, like fluffy lion mount. I like that one.
Yeah.
I have two that I don't like. I don't like the Bramblehorn. It has skin exposed on its like muzzle part, which I really don't like.
That's a little weird looking. Yeah. It is. I agree.
And then I also don't like the what is it called though? It's from the Crescent set. I guess I generally don't like the Crescent set. Because that one also has a unique animation for Arrow, which I think is pay to lose because it makes Arrow like much more obvious.
Oh right, yeah.
Yeah. But some people use it.
Yeah, I use the lizard or murder.
Oh, the lunar dragon. Yeah. I think that was one of the first mounts I ever got, actually.
Yeah, it's so different.
Yeah.
It's not the coolest.
No, I like them though.
I feel like, yeah, it's cool though. I mean, like the new one is amazing, Darkfall's amazing, and the Sapphire Saberlings that you mentioned is really nice too. But I like my lizard, and then I got a Pulsar Remnant, which is her immortal bow.
Ooh, yeah, that one. And the animation on her Starstorm, I think.
Starstorm, yep. Yeah, and then I use the Snowstorm one. I know it's formal. We like Dota position that the Snowstorm Huntress set is the best one because Podfather Brian Yinger is a huge Mirana fan and he loves the Snowstorm set. So yeah,
it's a very cute set. It's
Yeah, and it's affordable too. Yes. It's not like
I'm kind of disappointed because I think in like the original submission for it, the lion was white colored and it was just a lot cuter, but then when the set actually got released, it has more of a like beige color on the lion.
Yeah, so I got the bundled up Mirana on a lizard.
Very cute.
Very cool.
Sorry, to continue, so she has 7 mounts. She has 2 weapons. Like outside of set, she has 2 extra weapons, and then she has 1 extra hair slot, and then finally she has a taunt, which was included in just this past compendium. But if you,
and it's a good
it
one.
It is, yeah. She does a cute little like rodeo style. they do like a circle, or her mount does like a circle, and then she like has her arm up in the air. It's super cute.
Yep.
Yeah. All together, that gives you 22,440,000 possible combinations for Mirana.
Wow. So, they have to, yeah, so it would cost you some staggering sum to get all these.
It would cost you a cool, like, $1,000.
Yeah, and then you have to shuffle everything.
Yes.
See what you get. And then you just play 22,440,000 games.
Yes.
And you've, you know, hit 70% of them or whatever the odds work out to be.
Yeah.
That is impressive. I didn't realize she had that much. I mean, I knew she had a lot of stuff. But yeah, I guess it's because she has so many slots. That's funny.
Yeah. Oh, special shout out to the Moonrift set. It actually makes her blonde. Like all the other sets, her hair is dark colored, but in the Moonrift set, she gets
look at that
blonde hair, and you can choose to either have like a little butterfly mask on her face or not.
Ah, it's amazing! I love ones that change like fundamental things about the characters.
Yeah, like my favorite CM like hair is the one that makes her have black hair instead of the blonde hair.
Yeah, it's just what I was gonna say. And then I have there's a Luna one too that gives her like blue hair.
Yes, yeah.
That I equip. Mm-hmm. Not since I've retired from playing Luna because I can't win with her. But yeah, before that I lost a bunch of games with blue hair, so it was pretty cool. I looked good. That's all that matters. So thank you, Charlene,
so much
for coming on the show, talking about your hero. You get to hear about your feelings.
Yeah. Let's all get out there and shoot arrows and hit arrows.
Yes, shoot your arrows, hit your arrows, and shoot your arrows, hit your arrows in the Autumn Terrain, which dropped as we were recording this.
Let's go check that out right now.
Yeah, I wonder if people heard me clicking in the background, although Bob will probably edit it out. That was me restarting Dota so I could go look at the new terrain. But we have orange, we have beautiful fall foliage on the battlefield now. Do you have any shout-outs before we head out, Charlene?
Shout-outs to my bae, who is, I don't know, like 400 kilometers away from me in Vancouver while I'm still in Kelowna. Shout-outs to all you beautiful listeners for sticking through it. I think this is a really long podcast, but hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's chock full of information. I'm sure no one will complain. It was good. And Marana's fun to play, so everyone will enjoy getting the ideas and taking her out for a spin.
Yeah.
I have no social media myself that is public. Check out at We Like Dota on Twitter. Head over to our Discord, which I think is discord.gg/WeLikeDota. But come check us out. We have good conversations. We're planning out new themes, such as Moana. Heroes based on Disney's... Disney is getting a lot of play in the themes.
Yeah.
So if you have... So if you've been watching Disney films and thinking about how all the characters are analogs to Dota heroes, like who wouldn't? Come by our Discord and let us know. We'll set them up. And they can fight against other nonsensical Disney-inspired lineups. On Theme Thursdays, which we do every Thursday night at 8:30 U.S. Eastern, come check us out in the Discord. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.